Our first speaker is Walt Bond, followed by Joseph thank you. 2 minutes apiece again, please. And Melinda, you want to be added to the list? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Renee. So Walt Bond, followed by Joseph K. Thank you.
I think I've got this down to about 8 points. People and organizations only change when it hurts less to change than to continue their old ways that lead to more and more pain or bankruptcy. Basically, a quote from B.F. Skinner at Harvard. Consequently, we can choose new programming leading to better funding. What we're noticing in organizations, as emerging minorities get better and better education, they switch to NPR, just like they switch to better neighborhoods. They buy their kids violin lessons and take them to the symphony. Several examples on how to improve our programming so we can improve our funding. Watch DavidPackman.com. See how he humorously puts down the far-right crazies. He's free to all of our stations, by the way. He's from our Amherst affiliate. Four, understand how competently NPR raises money by giving generous time for local and visiting artists, actors, directors, museum exhibits, who's playing at the symphony. We had a fabulous young pianist last night. Opera, ballet. Why? By doing this, free advertising, the symphony, the museums, etc., give generously back to NPR. We, too, could do this. We can push these same events, give them double billing. We, too, can receive funding from this. Also, the donors to the symphony, the ballet, the museums, and so forth, give privately to NPR. They could give privately to us for backing their favorite charities. We have to learn how to work that group. Do not be scared of white people, of black people, of Jews, of Islamics. Give everybody equal voice in discussion, and you'll get money from all of the opposing groups because they just want to be understood. Think team. Think network. Take our best programs from all of our stations. Get rid of the dead wood. Take the best. Network.
Thank you. Joseph K., please.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm very glad to have heard the executive director's report today. Arlene, thank you very much for the information. It seems hopeful that there are bright lights somewhere in our network. I urge that also we recognize the importance of resolving conflicts that are human problems, and that this here foundation has struggled mainly because of hurt egos and pride and lack of forgiveness and understanding each other and acceptance of each other on a deeper level, and that the reduction of what's critically important in those fights, because what turns out to be a fight over turf or pride or hurt, you know, sinks what is really more important, the greater issues of the financial security and the health of this foundation. And the health of any organization, I think, comes into play when you look at the choices made, and that the difficult choices are often set aside while waiting for someone to come along and give that person who's afraid of making decisions authority and permission to make changes. And we stay too long on courses that don't work. Change is difficult, as someone just recently said, but we only change when there is more pain to stay the same than to change. And that, in that light, I think we have to re-examine as a network how well we work together in doing fundraising, major donor campaigns, and coordinate that work, because certainly if I go to New York, I'd be happy to meet with people there and do things in private parties and that kind of thing that raise money. We know how to raise money. You just got to ask people to give to what matters to them. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. The next two speakers are Elizabeth Stein, followed by Nancy. I know I keep mangling your name, but thank you, Nancy. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Stein. I'm a volunteer with KPFT, and appreciate being able to speak. Want to welcome all the board to Houston, home of NASA, home of the country's only openly gay woman mayor, yay, and ground zero in the death penalty for the Western world. In fact, if anyone wanted to get on 59 and head north for about 2 hours, you'd arrive in Livingston, Texas. Lots of beautiful pine trees. There's also 305 men there who are on death row. And Texas is killing them at a rate far faster than actually most countries who have the death penalty, and far faster than any other state. I produce a program called Execution Watch. Execution Watch broadcasts live whenever the state of Texas puts someone to death. The first year we did this, 2008, we had 24 shows. The second year we had 17 shows, unfortunately. So far we've had two shows, including Tuesday when the state put Timothy Adams to death. There are at least four more shows scheduled this year. In other words, Texas is about to kill four more people. Mm. And in a country that is becoming so increasingly isolated with its use of the death penalty, I think the work you are doing is more important than ever. I really appreciate the work you do to keep the finances straight and keep us afloat so we can do the work we do and help people understand what is happening. It's amazing how many people in Texas don't know even how many executions there are, let alone the issues that remain, the very open legal issues in many, I should say most of the executions. I've enjoyed meeting the folks I've been able to meet. Some people have talked about picking up the show or doing a similar show, and I would be glad to talk about that because there's a lot of work to be done. So, and also I want to invite anyone who's going to be in Texas the first week in April to come to a fundraiser we're doing. I can talk about the fundraiser, right? Fundraiser for KPFT. It's our second Prison Reform Film Festival. And it's going to be April 2nd and 3rd at the Museum of Fine Arts Houston. So we are being supported by our fellow nonprofits, and they're giving us facilities gratis. And April 8th, 9th, and 10th at Rice University Cinema.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
I was thinking, please consider an idea and make it better to result in better collaboration between management and staff, both paid and unpaid, and the LSB, all the LSBs. Limited tenure for the manager, and say every 6 months or 1 year, have a vote of confidence from the paid and unpaid staff and the board, and maybe a two-thirds vote should qualify to keep them on again. You don't have to have a tenure that's just free and open, and you don't have to have a tenure that's only 8 years like President Bush. You can cut the pain and clean up things and result in better collaboration. I think that would be a good idea. Please consider it. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. The next two speakers, I had empty slots in between because for some reason people put their name way down the list. So I got Melinda next because there was a spot there followed by, I know I keep messing up your name, Aqua Holt? No, Akua. Thank you, Akua Holt. Thank you.
What if everybody messes up my name?
Only your last name. I messed up your last name yesterday.
My buddy Campbell over there, sweetheart that he is. He agonized over it, I tell you. I love him for it. Truth of the matter be known, there are two words that I think that should be heard in front of this group. The first one is radio. The second word is business. I'm a person who is involved in human resources. I know very well what we can do, and I know what we cannot do. And one thing that bothers me a great deal is I see people, and bless your hearts, we all have our passions. We all have our causes. I went to the first prison show film festival. So I'm very much into all the causes, but at the same time, I got to remind people, we got to remember the bottom line. We cannot allow people to continue to see this place into oblivion. And we need to remember that we've got to watch the bottom line. We need to follow the principles of business. And one thing is, if somebody has been attacking this foundation and suing it, they have no room in the governance area because apparently their interests are not that of the foundation. Also, another thing we need to remember, we need to very well remember, fiduciary accountability is in many ways, and one of which is not wasting the time of staff doing duties that have nothing to do with what their job is. We do not need to distract from our staffs. We also need to remember that when we go out in public and we're wearing a KPFT, WBAI, KPFA, whatever t-shirt, we represent the station. Wear it proudly. Wear it like your own mama's name was on your shirt. Secondly, as far as radio is concerned, our role is that of outreach and financial. We are not there to make certain decisions. Now, by all means, we have right to input, but at the same time, we need to work hand in hand. We don't need to work like this. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Good morning. It was great to see some of you last night. I didn't get a chance to talk to everyone, but I'd like to speak to at least all of you before you leave. Again, I'm Akua Holt, and I'd like to get back to something someone said yesterday about vision. And I believe that the vision can drive our network into good programming, great fundraising, and also community outreach. I'd like to see our board go out into the community and meet the people of the community so you can hear feedback directly from them rather than going on a piece of paper to someone's desk and then someone can refine that to pretty comments and then you don't really hear the real truth what the people are saying. And I'd like to also request that the people of KPFT that we take care of our own backyard, because I don't want to hear disparaging comments about what's happening at other stations, and then when people come here, they give us glowing reports about KPFT, and we haven't taken care of our own dirty laundry, and we have this myth that everything is fine and perfect. Also, I'm excited about this process. I remember there was a time when Jack O'Dell and those folks were running the board. It was a business-like organization, but very little community input. And I know democracy can be crazy and ugly and sometimes just downright awful sometimes. But at least there is some type of community input as opposed to what it was before many years ago when I was in college and didn't know what I was getting into, getting excited about Pacifica. And let's see, what's my last thing? I think that's it. Also, last thing, I would like to also see, someone said earlier, how when you reach out to communities, that can also include funding. And I've seen resistance here with our station in reaching out to diverse communities, and that would help our bottom line. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Dwayne Bradley, followed by Catherine White-Swan.
Hi again. Hey, I want to start off just by thanking you all for being here, doing the hard work, and for coming down to those of you who made it down to KPFT to commiserate, celebrate, recept all that you did there last night. I know that when Jen, its parents, left, they were just overwhelmed by the outpouring of support and the good feelings that were conveyed to them and the memories and stories about Janet that they got to hear. Also, for those of you who didn't have an opportunity to pick up a KPFT tote bag at the station last night, I've asked Jessica to make sure that you guys each get one, and those of you who actually scored one last night, well, maybe you'll get a bonus one. Because you were ahead of the curve last night.
one for the family.
and I also wanted to just go on the record thanking the folks who all the volunteers and everybody who helped out at the reception last night. In particular, the very first chair of the interim local advisory board of KPFT, Deb Shafto, whose husband George Ryder was the chair of the PNB. Last year, that was Deb's cooking, if any of y'all ate any of the pasta last night. And our development director, Robin Lewis, was instrumental in helping to get a lot of the volunteers together. And, of course, you got to meet a lot of our staff and volunteers, and I appreciate each and every one of them. I wanted to talk a little bit in the seconds that I have remaining, and I might prevail upon someone to donate a few extra minutes to me because – I really wanted to speak about something I heard while I was at home working yesterday during public comment. And some of the comments, I'm from the old school that if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all. And so, you know, in the...
Oh, you're Catherine. Okay, so you may have her time.
Fantastic. Thank you, Catherine. She's my wife.
setup.
I wanted to talk about the difference between perspectives and perceptions, the forward thinking versus the retrenching of the constant retrenching of the past that was mentioned. And I know y'all were handed this two-sided litany of management, kind of a fault-finding paper there that's largely based on a perspective that I think is a misperception. And it reminds me of something I shared once with this board. Gwendolyn Brooks had said in one of her plays that, the world is round, and what that means is that you and I can be in different places and have different points of view and both be completely right. And I think that feeds into some of where this is reaching a point of discord. I just wanted to pick two of the 10 things that I heard mentioned. About 82% of the fund drive being achieved this time and being the worst achievement in KPFT's, I think it was called the reign of this management. Words are important. I've been in charge of 37 fund drives since I became the manager here. I've delivered 113 written reports to the local board. I've delivered 38 quarterly reports to the PNB. I could drop paper on you if you needed paper. In terms of collaboration, one of the 13 duties of the LSB mentions collaborating with management to assure that programming is meeting the mission. There's 12 other duties. Many of those are overlooked completely. I believe, rather than fear, I believe in faith. I trust you. We have a lot of hard work. The auditor expressed substantial doubt. I have faith that we can get this through this together, mm-hmm. And I thank you for that. A couple, five extra seconds is all I want, because I wanted to leave you with a piece of work by Rumi that I had shared with the entire community at one of our town hall meetings recently. And out beyond ideas of right doing and wrong doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. Thank you.
Thank you. Next on the list is Masood. Where is he? I don't see him. Okay, we'll come. And probably not without objection, I'm guessing. William, you're next.
Hello, William here, Wagon, WBAI, New York. Continuing from yesterday with a little repeat, the CFO finesses history. She said, when I started in February 2009, there was no budget, and that was meant to show that her current budgets are not that late. But she left out that the previous CFO had been disappeared at that time, and that Pacifica CFO got his budgets out earlier, usually before the October 1 date, never mind talking about January, February, March, before the start of the fiscal year for the previous CFO. And she commented that the new hire will not be a friend. But isn't that how she was picked? I was there in the city where it was done. The last display shown for the first quarter by the CFO, however it was obtained, I'm glad it was, because it referred to the first quarter, which we supposedly can't get because the audit for last year hasn't been closed. But whatever method that was, that should also be used to provide the local station boards with the information that we need to review things. As I pointed out, because of lack of reports, we haven't done any review in New York of the finances, meaning the actuals to budget, since last March 31st. She said she needs. We need to have people. A people person. You need to be a people person. We have is a people problem. The CFO consistently produces budgets 4 months or later, late. She cannot work with a template without help, which is the budget template, and she very rarely is able to answer a specific question directly, consistently, and none of the training or other recommendations by the last year's audit have been completed. Thank you.
Thank you. next speaker is Fernando, followed by Serene.
Thank you for coming here. Thank you for the hospitality, those who coordinate this event. Please don't take anything that I say personally. It has nothing to do with you, but your actions, perhaps. The United States is a class society in which whites have a privilege, not only in linguistically and in distribution of wealth and other goodies. Segregation ended in certain schools and other places, but it has not ended in Pacifica. We have segregation, the Spanish language programming block, the black programming, the white programming, and usually the best hours of programming are for the white privileged. That's where the money is, right? Well, it's because of we end up, according to members of the Mexican Congress, at least 20 million Mexicans here, not to mention the other Latinos, about 20 million, 40%, 50% over, 50%, 50 million, I'm sorry. In Houston, we understand it's about 40% Latinos, and yet we don't have 40% programming, and the programming hours we have is in the hours when people are sleeping when nobody's listening. I must remind you that the Democratic Party that influences Pacifica so heavily, almost like a property, it has many years having people of color around the world working for in their interest. They look like them, but they work for white people here. And it doesn't do anything for us to have people of color on this board that when you turn the radio station, you don't hear it's people or the people they appear to represent with the color of the skin on the air or hours when people are listening. So please revisit the Pacifica mission, and if you don't like what you see on your second look, as Philox said once, find another mission to be part of. Thank you.
Thank you, Fernando. Serene, you're next.
I want to say I'm proud to be part of the post-racial Pacifica where all three officers elected yesterday are white. With regard to the program changes that have been occurring across the network, whether it's the disappearance of the morning show at KPFA, and folks, please go to kpfaworker.org, see what's really happening there. With regard to the imposition of the profiteer back onto the airwaves of WBAI and the other program changes, which people received phone calls about less than 2 weeks before they were to take effect after a month of fundraising. With regard to the program changes pre-John Hughes at WPFW, which followed no process, with regard to the shunting of black programming, all of it pretty much right next to each other, almost ghetto style, in KPFK, again, without process, without discussion with the producers. There needs to be something happening at Pacifica, and I'm not comforted by the suggestion that one of the most narrow-minded people on the board, and there is quite a range of people to choose from if you were going to use that title, is going to be reviewing our arbitrons, which themselves are problematic even before the imposition of the personal people meter. They already discriminate. They already skew against communities of color, and then you have someone whose opposition to people of color has become rather well known. I would like that whole thing rethought. There's no one person. I don't know that he or his wife in her previous incarnation here has any expertise anyway, but one person should not be doing that. And I'm going to continue using the phrase oppressed communities that so distresses some people in Pacifica, because if you read the mission, that's what you're supposed to be addressing. I'm going to continue using it even if Kim Kaufman or whoever it is you know, severely distressed about it. With regard to the IGM hire at KPFA, this notion that general managers, whether permanent or interim, are chosen by one person in Pacifica is incorrect. I believe an incorrect reading of the bylaws, and I think someone needs to rethink that. I think the PNB needs to insist that even in the case of an interim general manager, that in fact the local boards be fully consulted and that they vote on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Serene. Are there any members of the public who have not spoken that wish to speak? I don't see. I'm looking at the audience. I think everyone has spoken. Bill, yeah, well, that's what I was getting at. There's a Bill,
could,
yes?
Could we, I'd ask for Bill consent to let Catherine, I know she donated 3 minutes, but if she'd like to speak, I'd like to let her.
No? Okay. Well, what I was going to suggest is we have approximately, I'm not sure if it's 5 minutes or 7 minutes, because I looked, I think it's about seven minutes. Okay, that's what I thought. So I have 7 minutes to distribute. I'd be happy to give 1 minute additional to each of the speakers if you would like that, because that would probably fairly evenly distribute it. We don't need to retake a list. Fernando, would you like a moment? Thank you.
I'd like to thank Pacifica for incorporating Al Jazeera. We do it collectively with our tax dollars, slaughtering people in Asia and South Asia, and it's kind of responsible thing to have Al Jazeera on the air here. I'm just hoping that you look down south where there's a mass killing of Latin Americans people and a mass incarceration of Latinos here, and you do kindly look at that part of your collective responsibility, because your tax dollars are financing that level of repression and human rights abuses. Do something about it with more Latino programming. Thank you.
Thank you, Fernando. Would another person like to step up? Just go ahead, Walt. I'll just take you as you come, okay? 1 minute each, please.
Yeah, I think in a station that's ready for bankruptcy, all of our stations, this is not just about KPFT. In all of our stations ready for bankruptcy, I think it is a cheap shot to pull the race card. And that can be done from any color against any other color. The only card that needs to be pulled right now is competency. And I think we have to remember it was Harvard-educated liberals like the Kennedys that integrated the schools in Little Rock, that Johnson got the... We have to get over this race stuff. The thing is competency. I spent a lot of time last night talking to our black friends from Washington and so forth. They're competent. The issue is competency, not color.
Thank you.
For me, the issue is respecting each other's humanity, mm-hmm. no matter Amen. What color, what race, what creed. But I would like to at least thank all of you for coming out and thank the previous board members. As I've always said, I don't ever want to be a board member. But I do like working in the community and encouraging them to support and to listen to Pacifica. Last night I was talking about how Pacifica covered the fall of the Berlin Wall mm-hmm. and how we sent reporters to Panama when mm-hmm. the thing was happening there and how people went to South Africa, Namibia. Mm-hmm. Yes, when that name was changed, we don't have that anymore. Our core of national reporters, they're literally gone. I would love to see us get our crown back, because all these talk shows that are on the air, they cannot hold a candle to us. But again, if we can really improve and increase our presence in the community with great programming, I think we'll be back on track. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Go ahead.
Isn't Akua Holt a charm? We love her to death. Wanted just to say something, and that is I'm very proud as a Texan. He mentioned Lyndon Johnson. I was watching this morning Lawrence Fishburne play Thurgood Marshall on TV. I'm proud that he nominated Thurgood Marshall. I'm also proud that he found a lovely lady here in Houston named Barbara Jordan and put her in Congress. And so I'm proud as a Texan in that respect. At the same time, I would like more people to step up, and I'd like us to have more fun in these stations. And as an outreach person, I want to see us reaching out and bringing more to our midst. We should not be an exclusionary group. All is welcome. The table is big. There's plenty for everybody.
Yes. Thank you. Go ahead, William.
Yeah, William Hairwagon again from New York. Piggybacking on on something Serene said to do with Arbitrons, but I heard in the ED's report that, you know, we got to focus on the Arbitrons and actually the fundraising of each show. I know we're in fiscal crisis, but that's getting away from the mission. We're supposed to be caring about who we're reporting about and who's doing the reporting and who's doing the commenting and what kind of shows we're producing. We shouldn't just be bottom-lining it, saying, oh, that guy only makes $400, so he can't be on the air. And then... I wanted to also talk about the I didn't hear anything in the executive director's report about the unions. In New York, we're still pretending that there's no union of unpaid staff called USOC. It's absurd that this supposedly progressive organization has essentially disbanded the union. It's ridiculous. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you very much. Do what?
He's getting a time on you.
Okay. I urge the development of a cohesive plan that takes into account the current financial difficulties that this nation faces and that the foundation also is part of, and that the cohesive plan place the survival and the well-being of the foundation and all of the stations above all of the personal issues that have to do with individual points of view, whether that be specific to some ethnic group, some labor group, some political point of view, some free speech point of view that says we have to provide the airways to everybody, no matter who they are, no matter what their point of view, no matter what their principles or morals are, and take that into account, that we develop some sort of cohesive standardization about making evaluations about programming, because our airtime is our resource. That is the lifeblood of this station. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We have 1 minute left. Does someone want it? Serene? Thank you. It's conceivable we shave 30 seconds here and there.
Okay, so I'll take the last 2 minutes if you'd be so kind. A couple of things. I heard someone mention that anyone who's ever sued Pacifica should never have anything to do with governance. You know, the fact is we have things that go wrong in Pacifica. We have management and other staff people who do things that are improper. We have boards that take votes that are improper, such as the attempts to shut out certain people from the PNB, where the last PNB is in fact trying to undo, I think it's 3 elections. Rodrigo had to sue to get his seat on the board. 2 other people will, I suspect, be suing in order to get their seats on the board. So the idea that simply because someone chooses to in fact defend themselves when they are wronged should therefore be blanked in Pacifica and punished in as many ways as we can find is nuts. Okay. With all due respect to those who genuinely are mentally ill. The idea of open meetings, we have a hostile house in D.C., if we didn't have one before. I don't mean the White House, I mean the House of Representatives. And Pacifica needs to be super careful to cross all its T's and dot all its I's and to make sure that it's doing the right thing so that when someone comes looking, and they will if they have not yet begun, and I'm not just talking about the whole broad attack against the CPB, that they will not find as much dirt as there currently is in Pacifica. And that starts with you guys who, some of you have been doing quite a bit of dirt and it will catch up. The idea of canceling all open in-person meetings, local station board meetings in New York, I believe it's going to be a violation of the CPB if there's anything left of the CPB when they're done. And you certainly will be getting lawsuits if you try to push that avenue. The gotcha politics in Pacifica where people feel, well, if I don't get what I want, I'm going to organize my crew to go after whomever, is going to be the death of Pacifica. I think Pacifica actually has a mission in my oppressed community. I'm a multiple candidate for oppression. And I know some people don't like a discussion of race. I understand that every time someone mentions an issue that is connected to race, they're accused of playing the race card. And I think that kind of reflexive thinking and response requires some close examination. And not every social scientist or psychologist is on our side. Please remember, the folks who get interrogated at Guantanamo do it with the help of psychologists, too.
Thank you, Serene. I have been requested by a member of the public. I mean, I can just make a ruling as a chair, but I've been asked to bring this to the body. I personally don't think this is proper, but I'm going to bring it to the body so you can decide what you like. We have someone on the phone who wants to speak as a member of the public via telephone into the mic. We're at the end of public time. And we don't allow even board members to, like, listen in by phone. But, you know, I'm throwing it out to the group.
I would speak to that. I'd say, although I totally support freedom of speech and the public to address the board, yeah. I wouldn't want to set that precedent. because then we'd have a long queue and added technical facilities at each meeting.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. No, I just, you know, and I, he asked me to leave the line open. He says if the board, if no one supports that, and, you know.
For me, it's fine. I don't care.
But I don't think that, yeah. Okay. We're totally behind schedule. We're actually
that we let the person speak. I am so tired of us. And when I looked at the sign in the station of KPFK, I get these K stations mixed up a little bit. And that's the station that we're in. That's Texas, right? That's our Texas station, my sister station. And when I saw the Lou Hill slogan, I mean, if anybody walked in that lobby last night and didn't feel the presence of that statement, then this phone call, whether it's a minute, we just give them a minute, we shut them down after a minute. Let them speak. This is what our elected duty is, to preserve freedom of speech for the people. I mean, I didn't even get a chance to get out. I usually try to get into these cities and see these cities. No buses running, so if they couldn't get here, let them speak.
Go ahead, Carolyn.
I think if we make an exception, which I hope we don't, because then we'll have to deny it to everyone following, we make it clear that this is a one-time exception. However, since we're so behind schedule, I would appreciate it if we could move on.
And then we're actually past time for public comment. I just gave the last 2 minutes to Serene, so... Okay. Thank you. I know we're just going to handle this by motion real quick. Does somebody want to bring a motion to let this man speak?
I will move.
And in second, can we call the question and take a vote? A yes vote means he speaks by telephone. A no vote means we adhere to the rules. There's no objection to him speaking by phone? Is there an objection? Okay, let's rock and roll, people. Go ahead and put him on. I'm always flexible. Let's do it.
We got to call him. That's not good. He was on hold.
He is on hold. He told me not to hang up on him.
It's not good.
Is this a collect call?
And I don't know if we can hear him well, but give it a shot.
Okay, Masood, I'm putting the phone by the mic. You're on.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Masood.
First of all, again, welcome to Houston, and I hope you have a safe trip back home. But I'm very disappointed. And my message is to Eileen, my hope in Pacifica. If you do not see the wound that the Zionist regime of Israel has caused on our radio station, you will not last more than 18 months, Eileen. I promise you that. The main problem right now is to catch up with the changes around the world and be the voice of voiceless in the United States. Every state in the country, they have demonstration and they are saying we are Wisconsin now, except our KPFD and Pacifica is ignoring what's going on. We have four propaganda show of Israeli government on our radio. Stop it now. Investigate what happened and go for the future with the people that need this radio. We need this radio. I'm proud of KPFD, but I'm not optimistic anymore. I was lucky enough to witness a revolution in Iran. I was part of it. I know when revolution happens, how many things change drastically.
We're at time.
We are not ready for the drastic changes that are coming.
Wrap it up. Masood, you're at time. Finish.
Thank you.
Thank you, Masood.
Thank you.
Thank you, Otis. Okay, that concludes public comment with a few minutes over and a little extra accommodation. So, thank you.